Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Welcome on in to today's Freight News Now Community Spotlight. I'm Kaylee Nix here with Alan Adler. And it's Wednesday, which is one of my favorite days of the week because we get to hear all about truck tech. And Alan, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you, Kaylee. You know, I always think of Caleb the camel on hump day, but that's just me. So,
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
Actually, I'm sorry.
I said, I love it. But let's go, because we're talking Volvo again today. We're talking VNL part one, part two, on part three. And let's go number three first, and then you can remind us about those steps one and two where we're at right now.
Sure. Okay, so part three this afternoon is about connectivity. You know, when you have a new truck that's 90% all new, you have an opportunity to do a number of things, right from the wiring all the way through, you know, what features you want to offer and things like that. So what we're going to talk about today with Cheyenne D'Souza from Volvo Truck North America, she's one of the product managers, is the things that they did. Now, she's interesting because she comes up from Brazil. She moved here in 2017, just about the time that Volvo started work on this truck. And so she's been with it from the very beginning. Now that they're getting very close to launch here in the later this year, you know, and she'll get more than just clinic responses to what they've done. Among the things they have done, though, is, you know, integrate a lot more of the over-the-air type, you know, fixes that can be done for software, for speed limiting and things like that. There's lots of things around there. This truck also now kind of mimics OnStar. If you remember OnStar from the GM days, it's still around, of course. As a safety system, it will make a 911 call, you know, from the truck if there's a problem, and things like that that she talks about. We also talk a little bit about whether Volvo, you know, through its own connectivity, is really sort of making inroads on a lot of the third parties that operate in this space, right? I mean, there's lots of people that will tell you how your drivers are behaving and, you know, will handle cameras forward and rear facing and so forth. She said the one thing that, you know, those guys can't do that Volvo can do is exactly the remote programming. They can't update the trucks and things like that. So I think the idea of both the revenue stream as well as, you know, staying closer to their customer is what's really behind a lot of this work.
I think that it's so interesting to talk about it like this, because when we talk about updates to these trucks, we often mention kind of the strap-on solutions or the adjacent solutions that come through. And we don't ever really talk about what that means from an update or a maintenance standpoint. And seeing it come directly from the manufacturer makes sense, right? It's all together in one provider. You might as well just keep it there. It makes the process a lot easier. What has the reception been to this idea of keeping that connectivity in-house with your manufacturer? And are fleets really excited about it, knowing that they have one less person to deal with if stuff hits the fan?
Well, I think that, you know, Volvo and really all the companies to some extent, Kaylee, you know, are doing the best they can to hang on to their customers and, where possible, conquest somebody else's. So to the extent that you can provide the full solutions, if you will, and that word is overused, I know, but if you can do everything for the customer that you have, then they don't have a need to go elsewhere. What the reaction is, I guess, pretty positive so far. I mean, you know, they've certainly shared what they're doing, you know, with their key stakeholders. You know, they've had the media out to Virginia once. There's another program in the summer for the media to drive the trucks a second time. They're really pouring it all into the VNL. That is their flagship, by the way, their over-the-road sleeper truck. I think it's real important, too. You know, they did some work, Volvo did, where they looked at what happens when you do have over-the-air, you know, fixes available versus when you don't. And there's a 24% improvement, really, in terms of uptime. And of course, that drives everything, right? I mean, how often you have to stay out of the shop is a better thing. Now, I asked the question, I said, listen, I remember the car business, that was a real headache for, you know, repair shops, because they were losing revenue by not having people bring their vehicles in if they could be fixed over the air. And Cheyenne said, no, she said, really, what they like this, especially the fleets like it. And then, of course, when there is something that has to get done, you know, they do go to the shop, but these shops are busy anyway. And things like reprogramming a computer are not something that is the best use of their time anyway.
Yeah, if they can do it out of the shop, then why even bother coming in? Alan, before we move on to our conversation about your newsletter that's coming up later on this week, I want to ask about timeline on this or limiting factors that Volvo is possibly looking at. When are they looking at seeing this truly roll out, or are they encountering any roadblocks that could hinder that rollout?
I'm not aware of any roadblocks. Like I said, they have a huge effort around this truck. I think, you know, they will start deliveries in, I believe, Q4. You know, the order books are open now. You can order the truck. This already was a really good truck. I mean, in the sense that, you know, some of the innovations that, you know, it brought in from, you know, like 2007 on, you know, the I-Shift transmission and things like that. These are all things, you know, Volvo was the first to really make the automated manual transmission, you know, a popular item. It, you know, you don't have, in fact, there's not going to be any shift opportunities. Yeah, you can't get a standard shift in this new truck. They won't be offering it. So I think that, you know, it's evolutionary in one sense, but what they're trying to get across, I think with some pretty good success, is how much they've done with a more or less clean sheet of paper on this truck. You know, we had episodes earlier on Truck Tech with Dwayne Teagles, the head of powertrain marketing, and he talked about how they're able to do so many things in a more efficient manner, you know, with the new powertrain orientation. And then we've been also with, you know, someone on the overview of the truck who, you know, the big message there, of course, is 90% new. And, you know, their catchphrase, their marketing phrase is designed to change everything. I think from what we've learned so far, they're probably on the way to doing that.
And I got to say, it's a pretty good looking truck. So if you haven't gone to the Volvo website and checked it out, I would highly recommend that you do that. Alan, let's move on to the newsletter for this week. We got some good conversation with Aurora, of course, one of the leaders in the autonomy space. Talk to us about what that's all about.
Yeah, this is interesting, Kaylee, because, you know, we know that autonomous trucks, because of the fact that they drive at speed limited, you know, way and that sort of thing. You know, their speed is set and their drivability is all done by robot or by computer. They automatically are going to save fuel over a human driver. But there's some research now by Gilbert Bray, who is a PhD who works for Aurora. He's involved in their autonomy space. He leads the product command center, field support, sustainability. And, you know, we have a brief conversation with him embedded in the newsletter Friday about research that shows that there is a 13 to 32% potential gain in terms of freight efficiency or fuel efficiency and freight efficiency that is possible through autonomous trucks. This is not work that we've seen before. We certainly asked the question, what we focused on in the short video for Friday is, you know, how alternative powertrains, electric trucks and hydrogen powered trucks will affect some of these things. They do not actually figure into the savings that Aurora has put forward, but there are a number of things that we'll get into in terms of the text portion of the newsletter that this study has found. And you know, Gilbert Bray, you know, comes out of the Cambridge University, where he had his doctorate and an MBA master's in engineering. So he's got a lot of background to do this work. He's been around the industry for about 16 years and been with Aurora for a while.
Well, we're going to keep an eye on that. And of course, if you are not subscribed to the Truck Tech newsletter, head on over to freightwaves.com, drop down the newsletters tab, and get subscribed. It's one that you don't want to miss in your inbox. Alan, thanks for joining us today. We, of course, will catch the show later on this afternoon, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, thank you.